Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
A few weeks ago, we started a series on Messianic Psalms and how it correlates to passages in the New Testament. And Todd is the one who assigns the topics and or the verses, and he gave me Psalms 22:22 and Hebrews 2:11-12. Hebrews 2:11-12. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And then Psalm 22:22. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. So as many of you know, I am in the process of adopting. So on my brain has been on a lot of preparing my heart for it. And as I've prepared my heart, I've considered what is it that makes a family. And when I was assigned these verses, immediately I gravitated towards the you are made holy, are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And I just started praying, Lord, what does family mean? You know, what is a true family? And the Lord said, ponder what makes up a family. So I'll let them catch up when they're ready. I don't want to pause. So the characteristics of a family that I've been thinking about is that a family has a shared name. They have at least one shared parent. They share experiences. They share the same characteristics a lot of times. A lot of times they share the same purpose. And lastly, they share love. So as I pondered this, I'm like, how does this relate to these verses? And the Lord kept saying that it's the same with me. It's the same with my family. You have a shared name, you have a shared parent, you have shared experiences, you have shared characteristics, you have a shared purpose, and you share love. So I'm going to go through each one of these. First, we have a shared name. Acts 2:21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the Lord just reiterated to me that it's only by his name that we are saved. We share his name and the purpose of his name, that if we call on him, we will be saved, and every knee will bow, those on in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow. Every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ, Lord, to the glory. And I just, like, that's the most of all. We share in his name and what his name means for us. It is a name that we are saved by. Anyone who calls on him will be saved. What's our response? First of all, our response is to bow our knee to him and confess that he is Lord and that you want to come under his name, under his authority of your life. Everyone has a testimony of how every Christian has a testimony of how they bent their knee, whether that's the four-year-old that accepted Christ before they laid their head because they wanted Jesus to enter their dreams, or the 89-year-old who on their deathbed gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone has a testimony in the Christian. No one's testimony is more valuable than another, because it's only by our testimony, our confession, that we are saved. And each person's testimony has a different weight than other people's. Twyla can reach gardeners more than I can reach gardeners. Cal can reach the finance community a little bit better than me, whereas I do taxes, he banks. You know, Betsy can relate to the homeless ministry that they work with. Each one's testimony plays into that. I heard a friend say once that she always discounted her testimony because she's like, I grew up in a Christian home. I accepted Christ when I was 4 years old. He's always been in my heart, and I never strayed away from him. How would I relate to it? How would anyone want that when it's always been good for me? And one day, it was a college friend, and one day we were sharing how we came to Christ, and she shared this, that I came to Christ when, and one of the people that was listening in on the conversation said, so you mean that when I asked Jesus in my heart at 6 years old, he came in to live, even though I've been messing up my life? And she's like, yes. Her testimony of coming to Christ at a young age is what helped our friend come to Christ. You know, everyone's testimony matters. Be willing to share how you bent your knee to him, how you came to him and confessed him as Lord and Savior, how you share his name. Second, we have a shared parent. We have our shared parent is God the Father. God is our Father. He loves us. He loves us. Many of us can't imagine how much he loves us because of our fathers. But he loves us, even if you have a good father, he loves you even more than that. If you had the worst father ever, he loves you more than you can ever imagine. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Romans 8:14-17, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Again, rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:16, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So how our response to that God is our Father, just rest in the lavishness of his love on you. Don't be afraid to ask him what you need, share your heartaches, share your joys, share what you need encouragement in, thank him. These are all responses that a father gets in the natural world from their children. Relate to him as your Father in heaven. And then allow his spirit to come on you and testify that you are his children. Doubts will come, but whenever those doubts come, say, no, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Lord, and I don't have to fear in this situation. I can choose love because my Father has taught me how to love. My Father has taught me right and wrong. My Father has told me to walk justly, to love mercy. Let his spirit speak to you on how to walk and step and walk in his footsteps. You know, just as a little child, a lot of times steps in their parents' shoes because they want to be like their parent. Step in Jesus' shoes and allow him to lead you as a parent. Allow God the Father to lead you by the Spirit through Jesus every step of the way. Next, a family of God shares experiences. 1 Thessalonians 7 through 12. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So as a family of God, we not only share in him, but we share our lives with each other. Encourage, look for ways to build up each other. Look for ways to just send a phone call, send a note to encourage. We all need encouragement to walk this road. But also, it also means that we share our possessions with those who are in need. And then we rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. When someone's mourning, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you of how to bless that person. But when someone's rejoicing, don't allow jealousy to come in. Rejoice with them. Far as an example of my life, I've been in hard tax seasons for a long time. And many of you have prayed for me over and over again. And last year, I went through a really deep emotional healing. Like, it was basically taking my heart and transforming it and doing heart surgery. And many of you have prayed, not necessarily knows the details, but have prayed for me. And so this week, I had my after tax season review, and I received a bonus that was double than any of any other year that I have had, and that allows me to have in savings what I feel like I need to cover 3 months worth of maternity leave. And whenever my child, I receive my child, when, if that's this year or next, who knows, only the Lord knows. But furthermore is my boss hardly ever gives compliments. And he goes, you rocked this season. You had the best season you've ever had. We see that you seem happier. You have, it looks like you really enjoy what you're doing here now, and you're helping everyone. And we've seen a change in you, in your confidence. And I was able to say, well, that's for two reasons. That's because I'm sleeping now. And the second reason is that I emotionally, I'm in the best place ever. And I'm saying this so that you guys can rejoice with me, because I thank you all for your prayers. And many of you have comforted me when I needed comfort. As a family, look for ways, even if you think it's small, like bringing a meal to one of our ladies that have a newborn, or offering an hour to a mother that has a newborn, you know, like look for ways to bless each other, because healthy families bless each other. They don't tear down, they encourage each other. Another way we share characteristics, a family shares characteristics. In the natural, a lot of times that's, oh, you look so much like your mother. Or, oh, I don't see either parent in you, but I see your grandma. You know, like, physically we see each other. But a lot of times it's also characteristics like, you know, oh, you're just stubborn like your dad. You know, like, or, oh, you're so bubbly, you must get that from your mom. You know, like, family in the natural a lot of times share not only the physical, but the overall demeanor of each other. We too are to share characteristics. Therefore, Ephesians 5, 1 through 12. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So what is our response? For one thing is learn how to walk in love and be like Jesus. Imitate him. The characteristics that we are to put on are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, self-control. I may have missed a couple, but learn how to put on those characteristics. And many years ago, we were still doing Wednesday night, one of the visions I had, and I never was able to do this, but one of the visions I had was us as a group sitting in front of a bowl of fruit, like different bowls of fruit. And in this vision, I heard the Lord say, tell them to pray of what is there, what of the fruit of the Spirit do they seem to have the most of? Like, that it comes natural to give out. And then pray what they feel like they lack. And in this vision, each bowl was a different fruit, and each bowl had a fruit of the Spirit on it. And then in my vision, tell them to say that out loud and then pick up the two pieces of fruit. It wasn't the two pieces of fruit. Pick up the fruit that you have the most of. And in this vision, everyone picked up the fruit that they had the most of. And then in the vision, we said what we needed, and someone had that piece of fruit and gave it to the person. It didn't play out because at that time, I don't think we were doing like speaking or that either, but it serves as a reminder to me when I think about it, is that I have some gifts in me, or I have fruits of the Spirit in me that someone may not find easy to come by. For me, patience comes easy to me. Now I say that, and maybe, but usually patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit that comes really easy for me. Like, I'm very laid back, you know, like, you know, being patient with another person, but also just allowing things to come and their timing. But what I have hard time with is joy. And so, like, finding ways to encourage through your gifting other people, but admitting to others that I'm really struggling with self-control right now, or I'm really struggling with love, I can't love this person, or this specific person. Admitting that to your family of believers and allowing them not only to pray for you, but keep you accountable, but also as you share your giftings and the fruit of the Spirit, we share in Christ. We share his likeness, because the Lord wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times a family has a shared purpose. They may not know this, but they have common goals. Like, they want their children to graduate from college, or they want 10 kids, you know? Becca's shaking her head. or they want, you know, they just want everyone healthy. Their purpose is the same. And they want a good education for their children. They want to be financially stable. Or they want everyone to serve the community in some way. A lot of times there's small little purposes that a family in the natural share. We may not think of it that way, but we do. So Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is our purpose, is to share him with others and make disciples of others and encourage them to come to Christ. And then when they do, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But don't just leave them there, because the Lord says, I am with you. Find ways to encourage new believers to walk their purpose out. Each of us have a slightly different purpose in this life, but our overall reaching purpose in this life is to make disciples of Christ and to show love, his love, to them. And then we share love. A family shares love. Whatever love looks like to you. You know, I used to not be a physical touch person. Byron can testify. I would like shrink back whenever I got a hug. But now, like a lot of people's like, your hugs are the best. And that's only because the Lord changed how that aspect. And I just pray, like, Lord, how does this person feel loved? Like, I know not to go to Betsy and give her a hug, because that's not how she feels. Or she probably doesn't like getting flowers, you know? And it doesn't matter to her. But, you know, quality and quantity of time matters to her. You know, with Catherine, you know, just enjoying her art makes her feel loved. Enjoying her dance makes her feel loved. You know, this little one, Allie, you know, she's a good hugger too. And she's a good aunt, but she also feels love when we say what encourages us. When she's encouraged me so much, and even as a little, are you 11 yet? 11-year-old. So Philippians 2:1-4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So our response is to find ways to love one another. Whether that's, like I said, bringing food, praying, just spending time with one another. Don't look at what fulfills you. Look at what fulfills the other person. How can you be Christ and his love to the other person? So in conclusion, Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So as I was praying this, I am not going to sing this either, but this old hymn came, or I don't know how old it is, but this hymn came up and kept coming into mind. I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. I'm not going to go the rest of the verses, but it also mentions sharing each other's troubles and joys and just that. But most of all, a family belongs to the Lord, but also to each other. So we belong. Don't forget that you belong. You belong. You belong.
This is Pastor Todd again. Thank you for listening to the message today. I pray the Lord uses it to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Once again, that is tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the TGP podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.